What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols podcast, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. I'm Mike, with me is Kev and Josh. Coming up on today's show, we'll recap the Riverhounds' most recent preseason games, we'll talk about what's been going on with Chevy, and we'll share some news that's going to impact the rest of 2018 and beyond. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the crazy sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen, out to the middle, back to
man, that felt weak. I'm sorry, guys.
It's preseason. You got a 1 month to get, you know, your game on.
I am struggling. Today has been a struggle. I am exhausted. I apologize to
what's
to
wrong,
everybody.
Mike?
What's wrong?
Oh, tell the world.
No. Things. So
open this up to be your.
All right, yeah, we'll do that. No. Things were just busy today. We started homeschooling this year, and typically, I will actually teach my boys all of their math for the week on Sundays. So we'll sit down and I thoroughly enjoy it. We'll do 5 lessons of math, and then during the week they'll go through and they'll do worksheets to reinforce what they did, you know, on the weekend. And yesterday or no Sunday. Yeah. Wait, what? Yes. Sunday. Yep. there was a bunch of stuff going on, and we were like, you know what? We're just going to go. We drove over to St. Vincent and we took a hike. It was like a 1.5-mile hike, and I was like, we're just gonna do this instead. And so literally it was like end work today, immediately jump into doing math with the kids, and so I had to sort of rush over here and throw together the agenda with you guys, and so here we are. But
now I feel unproductive. I can't tell you what I've done today or this past weekend.
I did some dishes. I felt pretty good about that. I adulted some before doing this.
Dishes are one of those things that I always feel good about doing because there's tangible proof that I did something. There are other times that I sit down and I'm at the computer and I'm like, what have I done for the past 1.5 hours? But dishes, I'm like, there's nothing on the counter anymore. Look, I actually did something. Plus, it's pretty mindless. I'll listen to podcasts and just work my way through it. So
exactly.
Yeah. So I guess a lot going on with the Hounds. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some stuff with us. We're going to talk about what's going on with Chevy, all sorts of great stuff. But let's start with the news that broke before the games happened this weekend. And that was the Hounds announced that they signed Dennis Chin. He's a Jamaican forward, started his career with Orlando. He was with the team when they won back-to-back USL champions and won the Golden Boot with the team in his sophomore season. After that, he bounced around a bit before ending up playing in Israel last season. And that now brings the total number of signees for the Hounds to 14. The interesting thing was that Coach Lilly was on ESPN with Stan Savern, I think it was Friday, and he mentioned that we already have 5 to 6 more guys signed, and they're just waiting for them to be announced. So I guess, guys, before we get into the stuff from the weekend, Josh, any impressions on Chin from what you've seen?
Yeah, so Dennis Chin, I mean, if you haven't been following the USL for very long, it was easy to kind of overlook this signing as being like, okay, well, whatever. But, I mean, he did make a big, splash when he started in the USL. Also, it's kind of interesting that he won Golden Boot his sophomore year with Orlando because, right after that is when Dom Dwyer happened to Orlando. And that was right before they went to MLS. And Dom Dwyer, wrecked the whole league. He came in and scored 15 goals and only played half the games for Orlando. It was just ridiculous. I was doing a podcast back then, and I remember every single week it was just talking about Dom Dwyer. So yeah, it's kind of easy to overlook Dennis Chin because of that. But yeah, he was Orlando's star at the beginning of 2013-14. So pretty cool.
Kev, any thoughts on bringing in another forward in a team that most people like to think is going to be defense first?
I mean, yeah, and not just another forward, but another Jamaican player, which, yeah. I don't know. I don't know how much we should kind of look into these kind of nationality partnerships, but I would imagine it does make things a bit easier when you're maybe in a foreign country and you can look around and have some camaraderie or some support from someone else who's also from your home country. So what now? But not only Dennis Chin, Romeo Parks, but is it Nico Brett or Neko Brett?
Nico. I think you can say Nico, yeah.
Nico Brett. So obviously Nico Brett hasn't officially made the roster yet, Stone Trial, but I don't know. I think that stuff can matter. And so hopefully, you know, they're kind of, you know, all three of them are kind of kicking it off well with each other. I think what, and even though we'll talk about him later in the show, I think Chevy is Jamaican as well.
I love how you held it so like one of us could look up.
We just
and
left
both
you
of
hanging.
Us just looked at you like, you know? Yeah. How long can you
hold
that?
I could be wrong with that because I remember Chevy and Romeo, at least seemingly from a far distance, kind of seemed to be developing a nice little friendship. That could be just imposing a nationality on Chevy. That's just completely wrong. But anyway, back to Dennis Chin. I think it's great. I think not only, you know, forward Jamaican, but I think, at least in my mind, he represents another kind of veteran leader. Which I think when thinking of the squad, the only person that kind of came to mind was Kevin Kerr. So I'm sure, you know, from that standpoint, to kind of shoulder the burden of kind of experience and savviness and being able to kind of maybe carry out specific instructions from Coach Lilly, Dennis Chin will be good to have there. I would also imagine Joe Greenspan is probably going to be the similar to that at defense. I think this is a great signing. And it seems like he's kind of, I mean, to say he hit the ground running, I don't know. But, you know, he scored a goal, which is great.
Yeah, and something else I thought was interesting, just kind of looking into his time in Orlando, he actually played with Corey Herzog 2014. So that's kind of a weird connection that was there that I don't know if there was anything to that or if – you know, that got on the radar somehow. But yeah, thought that was kind of cool that they both played together in 2014 for Orlando.
Yeah, and I think it's, Kev, I like the point about it being sort of veteran presence. I think the other one that everyone keeps forgetting is Canardo Forbes because he's still playing indoor soccer, I think, in Baltimore. So he will be back and he will have played under Lilly for the past few seasons. So I think that, you know, Lilly's doing a pretty decent job of building a good mix of veteran and youth. But go ahead, Kev.
By the way, I mean, can you guys give me a quick breakdown on why Forbes is not here?
Yeah, I thought it was because of injury at first, but then I heard that he's playing indoors, so I don't know what's up with that. So
I mean, I feel like this is a fairly big point that like is kind of under the radar. I mean, like when we signed him, I don't want to speak for you guys, but especially personally, I was like, this is the signing. He's going to be huge for us. And I was really looking forward to seeing him play. And it's getting a little concerning now that he's not around training camp or preseason.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much longer he stays away. I think, you know, there is a bit of that buffer where he's played with Lilly. He knows what to expect. But at a certain point, you start messing with chemistry if you bring in players too late. And so I think with somebody as critical as sort of that central midfield position, and if you expect him to have a rapport with, you know, Kerr, he probably already has somewhat of a rapport with Francois because they played together last year. But I would just expect him to sort of be a de facto starter, and maybe that's just wrong in my mind. But yeah, that is interesting that we've heard nothing from the team about when is he going to be back? When are we going to see him? We're sort of running out of weeks here to. You know, see him on the field. So,
by the way, Chevy is Jamaican too. I just wanted to point that out.
Chevy
crazy.
Is Jamaican. Got it.
I got it right.
Maybe. All right, let's talk about the games from this weekend. Two more preseason games, two more wins. The Hounds are undefeated so far this preseason against college teams. Woohoo! Again, it, you know, it's hard to put a lot of stock
I mean,
in these games.
You say that, but I want to say that probably wasn't the case. In recent memory, like we've definitely played college teams in preseasons gone by, and I want to say we've lost to them. So I mean,
we've
lost fair point.
Or drawn. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So it's a thing. I mean, so that's not terrible.
It's taken care of business. You know, the first game was against Charleston. We got a 2-0 win, shutout, goals from Kevin Kerr and Muhammad Dabu, and then or Dabo. Jeez, Dabu. Sorry, Kim and Oliver, if you're listening. I don't know why that one came out. Muhammad Dabo. And then 4-2 over Akron just the other day. Goals from Kevin Kerr, Romeo Parks, Dennis Chin, and Joseph Holland. The Hounds released a highlight reel of the goals from that game, and good Lord, man, some of those were pretty. Kevin Kerr's goal that he basically took, he was running in at goal. The defender sort of overtook him, and he sort of had three defenders around him, and he sort of did a he shot it with his right foot, but the outside of his right foot, and just sort of flicked it over everybody and dropped it into the side netting on the far post. Like, there was no push to it. It was just, I'm just gonna make you all look silly, and that's what he did. There was no effort.
Whenever you chip a ball over the goalie, it just looks so cool, and like, I don't know, that's like one of those goals that as a fan you're just like, yeah, that's a dirty goal. I'm so happy.
Yeah, it makes it look like they have it together, like in the preseason. And then, you know,
although he got a little lucky.
Yeah, whatever, it's Kerr. He's never lucky. It's all skill.
Not the finish. It was a great finish. It was an intentional finish. But when the Akron defender came up and, you know, kind of caught up with him, the ball kind of jumbled around between their feet. And
moving on. So Romeo Parks' goal and Dennis Chin's goal were both nice as well. But I think the one that sort of made all the headlines was Joseph Holland's free kick at the end of the game, where he sort of curved it over the wall, upper 90, and just walked away like it was something he does every other day. So
He signed, right? I mean, that means he signed now, right? Like, I don't know how you make that goal. And then, like, it's not his first goal either. He's made two goals now. And, yeah, I feel like that has to be a guaranteed, like, he's in the final.
Yeah, so he's been with the team since week one of training. He comes from Houston Dynamo. He was with them. He's played in every game so far this preseason. So, yeah, to your point, I'd have to believe that he's close to sticking around. But, yeah.
I can't remember either. We've been kind of playing a 4-2-3-1. Has he been part of the midfield three or the more defensive midfield two?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look and see whether or not he's actually started any of the games. I know he finished the last game.
I was going to say, I read John's article about the write-up of the Akron game, and I want to say, I think one of the things I remember from the article was him saying Lily mentioned how he still wants Holland to be a bit more of a two-way midfielder, which makes me think he's probably part of the three. But either way, yeah, no, I mean, he seems like a relatively established U.S. soccer player. The only thing, I don't know, part of me wants to write that free kick off because, like, if he can do that 90% of the time, he's playing in the MLS. So it's like, part of me, like, until I see it more, I'm just like, yeah, it was a good preseason goal. But that's just my pessimism.
That was still an awesome skill. And he has looked good at the preseason, so I think he deserves it, even though he might not be able to do that 100% of the time. But also, too, I mean, with Lily, you got to remember, he's so fluid with his formations that it's hard saying what he is a part of and what he isn't a part of, just because you never know with him. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him, like you were saying from John's article, be more fluid, both back and forward. So,
yeah,
it's hard to tell.
I mean, and while I agree with that, I don't know. Part of me keeps thinking whether or not Lily sees this move for him has some kind, like something almost like he has to prove something, because I think he definitely comes in with a certain reputation and a certain, you know, people think about him in a certain way, especially being defensive and playing certain. And all of the, whether it's, you know, reports coming out or from Coach Lilly's mouth, it seems like there's a certain narrative that's being kind of carried across in the preseason where this isn't the Rochester Lily. He's going to do things different. He wants to be a bit more attacking and blah, blah, blah. So in that sense, I think it's, I don't know how much we can kind of, I don't know, draw on kind of past Lily things. I'm very interested to see kind of if we do get a new Lily and what this load's going to be and all this kind of stuff. But I don't, I'm still kind of holding out. I don't know how much to take from the, especially these preseason games, but and from his past.
Well, and, you know, some of the talk, just, you know, you take an informal survey of people's views from the most recent games, and it sounds like defense is one of the areas where we seem to be a little bit more shaky, which is the opposite of what you think of a Lily team. Although you look at some of the players that we have back there, and you got to think that's going to shore itself up by the time the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's one of those positions that requires sort of the most I'm looking
cohesiveness
for a
word. Between cohesive, the all the people back. Yeah, like you kind of need everyone on the same page back there.
Yeah,
and that's going to come with time. It's also going to come once we actually have this lineup solid. Because right now it's not. We're trying new trialists every single half, and it's everyone's only playing like 45 minutes at the most. So I wouldn't be surprised if that defense is actually pretty lockstep. It's just we haven't seen the full defense all at one time yet, and they haven't had time to gel yet.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like also, I mean, I would guess Adewale and Greenspan are our starting center back pairing, but I mean, at least in this last Akron game, they didn't play together, and I don't know how consistently they've been playing together across the preseason, so that's something to consider. I mean, yeah, this could be something where, yeah, Lily just wants to spread things out and have leadership in different parts of the game in preseason rather than having any kind of partnerships form.
The other central D to keep an eye out for is Hugh Roberts, excuse me, who was recently added to the tryout list. Evan, who was over on the USL show, was talking to the guys from Richmond, and Hugh Roberts played for Richmond for a while. He played with Bethlehem Steel. Big name, big dude. This is somebody that the fans from both of those cities just love to follow. Now, he did have a defensive error in the game against Akron that led to a direct goal, but at the same time, he's a big body, and he's got lots of experience. So I could see him potentially pairing up with Greenspan as well. It depends on how you want to play. I mean, you see a lot of center back pairings where you sort of go like a big, small, or like big and then, you know, smaller with speed. I think if we had him back there with Greenspan, you'd have two big guys in the back. And, you know, how that plays out with how Lily wants to play, we would just have to sort of wait and see. But I guess in terms of, you know, the two past games and really everything that we've seen from the preseason thus far, starting to look for some patterns. Obviously, like, you know, you guys mentioned, most guys are playing like 45 minutes and then they're off. So there's not a ton that we can glean from this. And really, we're going to be watching the next few games much more closely to get a sense for what can we expect in, you know, just a few weeks when the season starts. You know, shout out to Shu from the Steel Army. He has actually put together an insane PDF that sort of breaks down all of the players, when they were signed, when they were added to the tryout, you know, how many minutes they played, goals and assists, all of that. So I'm looking at that right now as I'm talking about some of this, because we did our homework, but this came out literally like 10 minutes before we recorded, and it was just like, holy cow, man, you are crushing it. So shout out to him. I guess in terms of patterns that we're starting to see, just, you know, from looking at highlights and reading what everybody's been saying, first and foremost, it feels like both Kevin Kerr and the Cheetah have been in midfield, and both have been extremely productive. I think I would not be shocked if both of them are in the starting lineup week in, week out. Parks has played in the midfield and up top. You know, Lily has talked a lot about wanting to get Parks into space up top. John Krasinski mentioned it in the recap from Akron, where when Parks gets the ball and his only job is to try to score with it, that is what you want. Like, you don't necessarily want him to be thinking, do I need to pass this? Or, you know, where is the guy in front of me? It's, I'm making runs in behind and I'm just ripping the ball. So, you know, I talked to Kevin Kerr at the thing on Friday, and he was, you know, sort of hyping Parks as well. So we may see, you know, sort of a return to form prior to the incident from a few years ago. We talked about Joe Greenspan seems to have Central D on lock. I would not be surprised at all. If I, you know, part of me almost wonders if Greenspan is in the running for a captain position. We'll see. Just because of, you know, his presence back there, his vocalness. If that's a word, is vocalness a word?
It's vocalness.
It is now. Yeah. It is now.
It makes sense. We understand what you're saying. Okay, he's loud.
Yeah. He's loud. He's loud.
It also, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, kind of carrying on with that, there have been kind of reports talking about how Lily seemingly is, I don't know, not putting more responsibility on Greenspan necessarily, but almost kind of paying him more attention to try to get certain ideas and philosophies across so then that he can kind of, you know, be the representation of those ideas and philosophies on the field in the defensive unit. So yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising at all for kind of Greenspan. I don't, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for like who would we expect in the starting 11 come the first game of the season out of what we can, you know, what we've seen so far, yeah, I mean, Greenspan, Kerr, Cristiano, and Romeo, you would assume Canardo Forbes. But I mean, but the outside of that, I mean, there's a couple other names I would throw in there, but those are like shoe-in for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So I don't really know for myself, at least, that I've seen it. But is it normal for the kind of like the backbone of the defense to be, or at least the commander of the defense, not be the keeper? Is that kind of like a thing? Because usually you think the person who's calling the shots back there is the keeper. But having Greenspan be the one that seems to be the one that is taking on that on his shoulders and being the presence and how excited he is about that and how much more responsibility the coach is laying on him. It's interesting. I don't know if that's normal or not, personally.
I mean, I've seen it, I guess, a couple different ways, depending upon the team structure. I think you've seen cases where the keeper is the de facto sort of captain of the defense mm-hmm. and keeps everybody in line. But I've also seen, I guess, situations where, not that the keeper is more quiet and reserved, but definitely you have somebody else on that back line that's keeping everybody in line. So, and I guess, you know, having Greenspan be vocal, in my mind at least, doesn't necessarily mean that the keeper, whoever the keeper ends up being, won't be. I think it's just something where he's using his experience at this point to try to take charge and lead the way in these early preseason games, and try to help the rest of the guys around him gel more quickly, which, you know, again, we've talked about the show in years past about how important that camaraderie is amongst the back line. So, so yeah.
You really leaned into that pronunciation.
It's because I screwed it up like 5 minutes ago and Josh had to come rescue me. So, yeah. I guess the only other thing that I have here in terms of patterns that we'll see, and then I'm going to throw something at you guys just for a little bit of fun here, is that there's been a lot of speculation about who could be the starting keeper. And we saw that Dan Lynn got the start in both games this weekend, and he got the start last weekend against St. Bonaventure. So I'm starting to think that Dan Lind may end up being the guy just based on minutes. And, you know, again, if you're trying to build that camaraderie amongst the keeper and the defense, you want to get them in there as much as you possibly can. So we'll see how the next, you know, few weeks shake out. But obviously, the more you can have these guys work together, the better they're going to be once the season starts. So, yeah, I guess any other thoughts just based on, you know, the numbers, the fact that we're playing college teams so far, are we making too much out of any of this? What do you think, Josh?
I think one stat to keep an eye on is Nico Brett. I think he's probably signed as well. He's been pretty good, and he's played the most minutes, I think, out of pretty much all of the trialists so far. So I wouldn't doubt if we see that as a final person.
Darn you, Josh, you stole my next segment. I was gonna play a game and say, okay, of the people who aren't signed yet, pick
is that,
one.
Who is that on the outline? Because I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
It's not on the outline. No, it's not on the outline at all.
All right, cool.
Told you it was a rough day, Josh. Gosh. All right. Kev, are you looking at the amazing document that she has? Is it up for you right now?
Yep. Yeah,
okay,
is up.
All right.
I have it open.
All right. So out of the guys who are still on tryout, who do you think is signed? Josh already claimed Nico Brett, so you have to pick somebody else.
I mean, it's really tough. I don't know. I mean, are you saying which one I think Lily will go with, or which one I would like to see?
Which one you think will be on the roster come the start of the season?
So Lily.
So Lily, not you. Yeah.
The actual coach.
The actual coach. Yeah. The actual coach.
Yeah. Not the armchair coach.
That's right. Are you sure? He's, I don't know. I'm gonna merge the two.
Ah, wait, what?
You were the
go ahead.
How does that even work?
No, it's fine. It's Kevin. He gets his own special rules.
I'm gonna say Kenroy Howe, because I think we saw a lot of positive things from him last season. I mean, he had fans on this podcast, yeah, I mean, he's you know, he played 45 against Akron, and he's gotten his minutes in the previous preseason games too. I would hope to see that continues. I think the only problem that maybe he has going for him is, I mean, right now he's listed as a midfielder, and with Kerr and Cornardo Forbes and other people like, you know, Cristiano Francois being labeled as a midfielder, and sometimes Romeo Parks and all these other players, he's not going to be pushing for a starting lineup. But I don't know. We'll see. I would like to see him stick around. I don't think you know, Lily has shown that he's not going to be necessarily sentimental in keeping, you know, players around for the sake of it who were previously in the club, you know, players like Stephen Okai or something like that. So, I mean, if he's there, he's there for a reason. And so I'm hoping that that we see Kenroy come back for next season.
See, I was going to go ahead and say somebody like Dabo, who has played every preseason game thus far. He has a goal so far. But you look at the midfield and the way that it's shaping up. We already have Forbes. We have Francois. We have Kerr. We've signed Ben Fitzpatrick, which, you know, word out of camp is that he's sort of lighting things up in camp. There's talk of, you know, Parks could always slide back into the midfield if he needs to slide back into the midfield. The midfield's starting to get pretty cramped. Obviously, you want additional players who can step in and make a difference. So I think that, you know, Dabo might have a good shot, but we also talked about Joseph Holland and his shot. He's played every preseason game. He's got two goals thus far. I mean, we've got a lot of depth here at midfield that we could pull from. I would just say that, you know, I would expect out of everybody that's left, outside of who you guys said, I would probably say Hugh Roberts, just based on his pedigree and what he's done in the past and the fact that we know that, you know, we're probably going to win a lot of games because we're not giving up goals. That's not saying we're not going to score goals, but we're going to win a lot of games because we're not giving up goals. And I think that to have somebody with Hugh Roberts' pedigree to come in and, you know, be on trial with the team and then let him go, I would feel like there was something big that was going on for that to happen. But who knows? But yeah,
let me make my case for why I think that's it's a bad question to begin with. I'm just trying to save myself here. No, look, for me, the kind of fan I am and the kind of person I am, look, preseason is so in and out. It's so flowy. It's so non, you know, cemented. And so it's just, for me, it's so hard. I don't know. I've seen so many things happen in preseasons gone by where just, you know, things happen that you don't expect to. So I tend to just kind of look at preseason from afar and say, oh, good, we're winning. I don't care by how much. Oh, good, look, we've signed this guy officially. Cool. But outside of that, it's I'm waiting for kind of the, you know, a week away from the first game of the season to be things, to have things a bit more cemented. So I think it's so hard to kind of.
People don't want to hear that, Kev. They don't tune in for you to be wishy-washy. They want the hard-hitting opinions.
Hot takes. Hot takes.
I am who I am, Michael.
The wishy-washy Kevin.
That's right.
Exactly.
Who will kick out my soapbox and stand on it whenever he wants.
I will him and all as much as I want to.
That's right.
Every show needs a villain.
All right. All right, if the heel is done talking, I'm going to say I just want to voice that. Yeah, I think the midfield, even though it's stacked, it's with Lily, I feel like the midfield is almost like two positions. It's, you know, it's both forward and defense, so it could be either or. So I think it makes sense that we have, you know, a stacked midfield. And that's why I do think Joseph Holland is probably a good bet as well.
I think that's fair.
Also, I mean, pulling back something, I've been thinking about this even before kind of preseason officially started. When, gosh, it was the last pod we did last season when you, like, surprised us with, like, tons of people and tons of guests and everything, and you had Kevin Kerr on. And I remember, I forget who asked him the question, but it was.
It sure wasn't you, because you slicked way back in your chair at that point.
Anyway, but someone asked him, like, preferred positions, and, you know, because it's like, what position does he feel most comfortable playing? And I want to, I seem to remember his answer being like in the three in a 4-2-3-1. Which I always seem to think, because, like, in a 4-4-2, if you put him out wide, he doesn't have the pace to be kind of a wide midfielder or a winger. And I don't, you know, it's, I think sometimes he can get a little bit lost defensively. He's not going to be the player in a two-man midfield. I don't think he's, like, I don't know, athletic and has an engine enough to actually do that for an entire 90 minutes. Where I absolutely think he thrives is in a midfield three and a 4-2-3-1, where he doesn't necessarily, I mean, he still has to do his defensive duties, but he has two shielding midfielders behind him, and he doesn't necessarily have to be thought as of like one of the one or two lone attackers, he has other people supporting him. So I'm happy to see that right now it seems like he's being deployed in this system, not only based off of like what we as fans kind of perceive what might get the most out of him, but you know, he himself has said, yeah, I feel most comfortable in a 4-2-3-1. And so I think, you know, half the battle is getting your best players in the positions that allow them to you know, flourish, and playing this kind of 4-2-3-1 with Kerr in that midfield three, I think is absolutely that. So that's kind of something that I've, you know, forgot to mention when you asked like other patterns that we've seen in this preseason. I think it's a really positive thing.
Well, and we had talked about too a lot last season how much the Hounds could have benefited from having a central attacking midfielder that all of the play sort of ran through and he would distribute out. And there was a few games, not many, like two or three, where either he or Romeo sort of played that position, and we seemed to be like world beaters those games. And you know, there was some talk when Lily first came in and met with the Steel Army, where he mentioned that when he played River, when he played Pittsburgh last season, he knew you cut off Kerr, there goes the team, because everything sort of flew or fed through Kerr. So yeah, I would not be surprised to see him sort of in that attacking position. And
here's kind of a finer detail. I mean, I don't necessarily see him though as being like the central one in the kind of front midfield three. I kind of see him a bit out wide. He has a tendency to try to find space out a bit wide, and he delivers a great ball. So I think he'll get more opportunities if he's on like the left or right side of a midfield front three. That'll kind of allow him to find space out wide. That'll allow him to kind of whip in, you know, tasty crosses. That's where I would kind of expect him to play. And it seemed like he was kind of picking up those positions in the Akron game, but I could be wrong.
I want a T-shirt now that says "Tasty Crosses" on it. If somebody can make that happen, that'll be fantastic.
Said that in a very nice Pittsburgh accent. Too.
Tasty crosses. Yeah,
you didn't see those tasty crosses.
All right, so let's end the Kevin Kerr love fest. Kevin's trying to get back on his good side. Let's talk a little bit about Chevy Walsh. So, you know, there was a lot of speculation so far this offseason where originally he was the only player signed to the team. And then the Hounds started announcing other signings. And then all of a sudden he was no longer on the roster. And a lot of people said, well, wait a minute, where did Chevy go? And the only information that we got out of the team was that he was no longer on the roster. No one would say why. No one said what happened, anything like that. And then now as these preseason games started, we started getting a lot of reports that Chevy was there in the stands. And so that led to even more speculation about what's going on. And sure enough, last week, the USL released on Twitter a statement saying, in the contract dispute between Chevy Walsh and Pittsburgh Riverhounds SC, the USL has decided in favor of the player. Now, this doesn't tell us any more than, you know, what we may have previously known, other than there was some sort of dispute between his contract or over his contract. The interesting thing is that shortly before this came out, the USL released another statement about Tommy Heinemann, which if you listen to the USL show, if you follow what the guys at Sock Takes have been writing, there was a dispute between Tommy Heinemann and FC Cincinnati along the same lines, where Tommy Heinemann was signed and then all of a sudden he was no longer with the team, and there was speculation about, well, did he come in injured? Did he, you know, not disclose an injury? What is the team, you know, do they have the right to do this? Are they mistreating the players and things like that? And full credit to the guys from, you know, Cincy Soccer Talk. They walk that line of, you know, being, you want to be supportive of the players, because if something like this happens to them and it's unjust and it's unfair, then they're basically left out to dry. So, you know, if Chevy has a contract and all of a sudden the Hounds are like, we don't want you anymore, but he still has a contract, then where does that leave him? You know, where does he go from there? You know, is it another team going to sign him? And if it happens late in the preseason, then you're really leaving these guys out to dry, because now they don't have time to go and find another team. So, you know, we had reached out to Chevy as well during all of this, and, you know, didn't get any response, not totally surprised. But what this means now for both, you know, the Hounds and Chevy, it's not clear about what the path forward is. I'm assuming that because the USL decided to decide in Chevy's favor that the Hounds are still on the hook for his contract. So at least he's hopefully getting paid for the season. But I guess, you know, with all of this going down, Josh, I know you saw it. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell exactly what's happening. But on one point, I do like the fact, I mean, with not knowing all the facts about this situation, I like that USL seems to be a players' league so far, where they're siding with the players for these contract disputes. And I also think that it's interesting. So the Tommy Heinemann situation was a little bit different because since he had just signed him, and then he like did I think a preseason game with him or something like that, and then they dropped him. And they were like, oh, we found out about an injury maybe or something like that, and that he didn't disclose it, but they also didn't make him do the physical before they signed it. So all that kind of stuff. It felt a little bit different because we had a lot more information. In this dispute, we don't really have much of anything to go off of. All we know is that Chevy was signed to a 3-year contract, which is like unheard of for USL and for Riverhounds, period, when we signed him. And this would have been year 3 of his 3-year contract. And then he was dropped. For whatever reason. And then, yeah. So I'm not surprised. Let's put it that way. Seeing as how he had a contract and they're not willing to say, like, why they wanted to drop him, that to me says, like, maybe your reasoning isn't good enough to drop him.
Yeah. Kev?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything that can be said with the information that is known has been said by you guys already. I think one thing that maybe I can contribute to the conversation is I think Lilly will get what he wants, not necessarily from like a contract perspective or anything like that, but in terms of the team that he ends up fielding. So I think whether or not he wants Chevy, you know, in a starting squad or not, he seems to have the support and backing of everyone at the club. And so, you know, this isn't going to be a situation where, I mean, even if it's something where, I don't, like I said, it's hard to even speculate because we don't have any information, but if it's something where, you know, Lilly doesn't maybe fancy him, then I don't see Lilly kind of, trying to incorporate him when he doesn't necessarily want to. I think Lily's going to make his decisions and kind of stick by them. So at the end of the day, I don't think the only thing that this is going to harm in the worst case scenario is like the club's pockets, paying a player that maybe necessarily we won't get the benefit of actually playing on the field. But I mean, you know, so, but yeah, it's never nice to see this kind of stuff happen. And you know, all the best to the player and the club.
Yeah, one of the best case scenarios I can see in this is if they are able to loan him out to a team that will utilize him, because nothing's worse than having a player that, you know, is able to play sitting on the sideline. Whether that reason be because they don't get along or if he just wasn't fitting the system that Lilly wanted, who knows? But if they can get him to be playing on another team, that way, both he's playing, so that's great for him, and also they're not just eating that cost. He's actually on loan with someone else.
Especially because, I mean, he's only 22. I mean, so he has such a future ahead of him. I mean, so, yeah, it would be terrible for to have just like a gap season for him where he's not developing as a player. I completely agree with you, Josh. I mean, maybe the best thing in this situation is a loan deal where he can still play. But we shall see.
I mean, it's an interesting situation as fans because you're sort of torn, right? It almost makes you feel like you have to take a side where it's like, you know, well, do I support the team or do I support the player in this case? And I think that
but it's like so hard because we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. The point that I was going to make is that I feel like we need to look beyond that. And, you know, we can still be fans of the club and supportive of the club on the field and things like that and still side with somebody like Chevy in this situation where we've said he's a young player. He seems like a good dude. You don't want to see him miss an entire season this early in his career. You want to see him out there playing. So you want to be supportive of him. And the harsh reality is that stuff like this happens all over the USL. I mean, our buddy Phil Grooms talked to Jake Edwards, the president of the league, and he mentioned about how, you know, how quickly the league is growing. You know, a lot of these teams are using sort of cookie cutter contracts, and they're not actually going back through. And you know, is something like a players union in the works? You know, or are they going to do better to try to protect these guys? Because at the end of the day, they're just individuals trying to, I mean, we talked to a number of the guys who were on the team last year that still don't have a team to play for. It's this, there's nothing guaranteed in this. And so really, you know, you feel for the guys, but like I said, we can still be fans of the team and sometimes disagree with the decisions they made. I mean, Lord knows we've disagreed with some of the decisions they've made in the past. And so, you know, nobody is sort of infallible here. But, you know, obviously, at least from the three of us, best of luck goes out to Chevy. We want to see him end up somewhere. Josh, I think you're right. I think a loan deal would be sort of the best situation for everybody if he's not going to make it on the field for the Hounds. And hopefully that they could collectively, you know, work something out.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, and ideally, it's I'd love to see him in a Hound shirt.
Yeah.
Because he's a good player. But only if Lily wants him there. I mean, right. if he's not going to fit in the system, then, you know, then yeah, don't do it just to appease a very good player.
Or if he's going to
the system and the team.
You don't want to see him on the bench. You don't want to see him on the bench all season. Yeah. So, like, yeah. Get him some minutes. So. All right. Well, I guess that's our thoughts on Chevy. If you guys have thoughts on Chevy, you know, let us know. We're happy to continue the conversation and look forward to hopefully seeing him play somewhere this year if it's not in Pittsburgh. So best of luck to him. In terms of what's coming up this week, you know, what you can sort of circle on your calendar, the Hounds play Pitt at Pitt on Friday, which that is an amazing facility. If you've never been there, it's right up on top of the hill. There's amazing views of the city and Oakland and all of that. They very easily could have said, let's play at Hardmark, but they said, nope, we're going to go play at Pitt. If you get a chance to go check it out. It's going to be awesome. And then on Sunday, we play Beth Steele at 3 p.m. in Chester, PA. So we'll probably be getting live updates from Evan from the USL show on that one. So if you don't follow him on Twitter, go follow him, and you'll probably see everything that's going on with the game there. Although I'm sure that the Hounds, well, this will be their first away game, first road trip of the preseason. So I don't know if Anthony will be going and live tweeting that one as well. But after that, this is our last weekend of two games on a weekend. After that, we switch to one game a weekend. We'll play Penn 15 at Highmark, and then finally we'll finish things up with Villanova the week later, and then we're getting ready for the season to start. So I guess anything, you know, as we start to inch closer and closer, we're basically 3 weekends away before we start kickoff. Is there anything in particular that you guys would like to see that we maybe haven't seen thus far, or maybe something that you'd like to continue to see more of, you know, to sort of cement certain things in your mind? Kev, you're sort of like grinning and nodding like you've got like a whole plethora of things you want
to
say.
I'd like to see Kennardo Forbes.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him in a Hound shirt. That's what I really want to see. That was kind of a tongue-in-cheek answer, but it's my honest answer as well. I hate preseasons. I'm sick of them. I want the season to start. I want to see, you know, when points are on the board, when points are up for grabs, that's when I'm all about it. As long as Lily keeps saying, yep, things are going well in preseason, then cool. I don't care if we have 10 players on the roster. Well, I kind of care, but I was gonna say, if we have like 10 or 20 players on the roster, you know, it's preseason, you know, who knows? But yeah, I just want to see Forbes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we kind of see the same thing that we've saw the last couple of weeks in these games this weekend, where they're still kind of figuring it out, maybe just iron it out completely about who gets starting positions, that kind of stuff. And then once we go to one game a week, that's when we actually see the finalized, or at least the preemptive finalized lineup and seeing like an actual game happen. Because I think it's hard to do that when you're playing two games a weekend, back to back like that. You can't really play the guys, you know, a full 90 and expect them to last the whole game.
Yeah.
So yeah, on the next game with Penn 15, that's going to be when we actually see what an actual Riverhounds game might look like. So I'm excited for that one. And it's against, you know, Harrisburg, so that's always fun. But yeah, before that though, I expect the exact same thing we've been getting all year. All preseason in the next two games, except for the fact that we didn't have to deal with it as long as we did last season, since we didn't have such a long preseason that we did with Stefan.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, nobody has gone a full 90 yet. So I think that, you know, I agree. I think this upcoming weekend, we probably won't see a lot. I'm going to be anxious to see how we do against Beth Steele, just because that's going to be our first USL team that we've played. But again, if that's the second game in the weekend that we're playing, it'll be interesting to see how Lily sort of lines things up and whether he goes with maybe sort of, you know, more trialists when we play Pitt and then more of the, you know, lockdown guys when we go out to Chester on Sunday. So that's something to keep an eye out for. But I agree. I think after this weekend, we're going to start seeing guys go the full 90 just to get back into game shape so that once we head down to Nashville, we'll be ready to fly.
And I would also expect to see Chen more present in these next couple of games. So that'll be interesting. Even if we're not seeing full 90s from him, it'll be cool to actually see him more on the field and what he has to offer for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what we think. Let us know what you think. I guess one last thing before we get out of here. I teased it a little bit on Twitter, and we talked about it a little bit within the Patreon group. But the future of Mongols. So we've got some news. We've got lots of news that we're going to be sharing here. And I don't want to divulge too much, if anything, before we're ready. But one of the things that we're planning on doing is we've talked about for our Patreon followers doing a sort of behind the scenes Patreon only show. And so we have some pretty crucial decisions that we're going to be making about sort of the future of Mongols. And we're actually just going to do it with our Patreon followers. So if you're not a Patreon follower yet, head over to mongols.com, click on become a supporter. There is a tier for $1 a month that you could subscribe, and then you will be part of that show. And the idea is that we're going to do a live show where if you're a Patreon follower, you will get the link. You can go, you can watch it live, you can ask questions live, you can participate. We're going to be asking questions of you because we want your feedback to help sort of shape some of the decisions we make. You know, maybe, you know, the swag that we're giving away this year, you know, some of the other stuff that I'm not going to divulge just yet. But you can, to a certain extent, expect some really, really cool new stuff that we have not done previously, and definitely going to help you get your fill of Riverhounds news this season. So really, really cool stuff. If you want to be involved with that, head over to mongols.com, click on become a supporter, $1 tier, and you can be part of that show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I guess the only other news that we can sort of drop at this point is that as of right now, we're tentatively scheduled to have Coach Lilly back on next weekend, or not next weekend, but next Monday. So if you have questions for Coach Lilly, send them our way. We will be sure to get them on the air, and it's always a good time talking to him. So you have that to look forward to. But otherwise, guys, I think that's pretty much it from us. So I will say thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, a official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. If you're looking for more great soccer podcasts, head over to bgn.fm. We added, I think, 6 new USL shows in 4 weeks. Yeah, it's insane. So lots of fun, lots of great hosts and people to be around. We're working on some stuff with them too for the season. We'll divulge that as we get closer. Otherwise, you can follow us on Twitter at Mongols, email us at mongols@bgn.fm, head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. Otherwise, let us know what you thought about this show. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter. Mongols.com. Become a supporter. Thanks.